Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. Hour number two. John Dunn is going to join us in about 15 minutes. But for now, go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Tommy is up next. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how boys doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Can y'all hear me all right?
I can hear you fine.
Sound good.
Okay. It's kind of cloudy on my end. But, no, Jack. I heard y'all been talking. Sorry, I've been laying on the floor today. I got a bunch of dust in my throat.
Uh-oh.
You was talking about making some Titan players. I remember back when I was in elementary school over here in Savannah, they come over and they brought a T-Rack over and got to meet a Wycheck and a Justin McCarron.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That's what really got me turned on to the Titans. And I watched that game last night and I was like, go ahead and turn this off, get back to work.
Yeah.
That defense it looks trash. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I ain't going to say Henry's off the step. I mean, he might turn around and it's early. It's two games in.
It is.
I'll say this about the defense. Obviously, losing Harold Landry is huge. My main concern is that secondary, man. Like when you have to take your former first-round pick from 2020, I think it was, or 2021 for Caleb Farley, you take him off of Stephon Diggs and put an undrafted rookie in Avery, like, that makes me worried about what's going on in your secondary.
Right. Well, I know this is Gator Hater Week, boys. Y'all ready?
Man, I'm about as ready as I've ever been. And I'm almost kind of glad that I'm not going to be able to see it because I got to be in my buddy's wedding. But
yeah, I still don't understand people knowing, you know, what's going on. And I can see back in the day when they knew we was going to get, you know, just plummeled, you know, 38-3 or some BS like that. But, you know, I got a good friend down there at work. I consider him a real good friend. He's a diehard Gators fan, and I walked up to him today, first time I seen him since their struggle against South Florida. I looked at him. He said, don't even say anything. He said, y'all are going to whip our you-know-what.
Well, the thing is, it's like you've got people like Roberto and Phil, you know, guys that are very, very cautious. And Phil, I mean, we know how Phil is. And they are confident going into this Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of what scares me. You know, We've been hyped up before, especially on 16. We beat Florida. We beat Georgia. And we lose a tough game with A&M because we turned it over six times. Then we go ahead and lose to South Carolina. We lose to Vanderbilt. I mean, with all that talent, I mean, but now we have a competent coaching staff. The players seem like they've bought on to everything that's going on there. It seems like they play hard. I mean, in that Akron game, when the second, third string, even fourth string come in, I mean, they all played hard. I mean, they played good football. Didn't make mistakes. Made a lot of good tackles. Made a lot of good plays. And I'm thinking, boys, I'm getting hyped up now. I hate to do it because I hate to get my heart broke. But Kentucky gave everybody the recipe how to beat Florida, and that's keep AK in the pocket. Or AR-15, that's what they called him. That's
yeah. It. He's not the AK. We got the AK. They got the AR.
Yeah. We can go ahead and just get that defense scoped up. Now, I think if we keep him in the pocket and the way our offense scores, I think we'll be all right. I think Small was practicing, so we'll have him.
Yeah, I think we're going to be fine there.
We'll have him. But real quick, and I'll get off here. I know John's coming on, and I can't compete with that. John's real good. His spaces last night was really good. But real quick, Jake, you know, it's the end of the week. I got to talk a little NASCAR real quick. I hate to do it on Florida week, but we're going to Texas. Who you got?
Going to Texas. It's going to sound weird, but I like Kyle Busch. I think he's got something to prove. He doesn't have anything to prove. I mean, he's a two-time champion, probably one of the better drivers in this era. But
he's after Jimmy Johnson, he's the best driver in the Cup Series.
I mean, he might be the only Or no, Logano's a two-time champion, isn't he? Or no, he's just got one.
Right. Well, I'm going to go with our all-star winner. I'm going to go with little Tyler Reddick.
All right. Another driver that's not in the playoffs anymore.
I think he's going to go out and show something to prove and show RCRs. Hey, you let me go, you're going to try to put me in a lower charge car next year. I'm going to go ahead and win it all.
Yeah, I don't like the way they did that. Because, I mean, more than likely he's going to be driving, what, the 31?
Yeah, he's going to be in a lower tier RCR car.
I mean, it's basically going to be what the 5 car, or the 25 car, excuse me, used to be for Hendrick.
Yes, that's it. You're going to get the leftovers from the big boys.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
All right, boys. Well, it's good to hear from y'all. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to get ready to listen to John, spew some knowledge on us.
All righty. I'm excited for him.
All right, boys. Y'all have a good evening.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Tommy, talking some NASCAR. You're not into NASCAR, are you, Marcus?
I did have the opportunity once to go to a race. That should tell you the answer.
Football race.
Yeah, the football race. I did get the chance to go to one in person, and it was a blast. I think it was in Bristol, if I remember correctly. It's one of those sports that it's hard for me to watch on TV, but if I have a chance to go, it's like, of course I'll go. Same thing with baseball. I've been getting more into baseball because of the Vols.
And you and I actually got to go to a game this summer.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Going in person is always a great way to learn about the sport just in general, but also it's more fun. Like football and hockey, for me personally, are the two main sports I can watch on TV. But nothing beats going to an event for a sporting event. Like, it's just, hear the crowd, hear how excited they are, no matter what the sport it is, man. It's a blast. I've even considered going to just a random game, football, anything, where I have no stakes in it at all.
Right.
I can just enjoy it for the sport that it is.
It's kind of like hockey with me. You know, I can't watch a game on TV.
Yeah.
If you give me tickets to a Knoxville Ice Bears game, I'm all in.
Oh, it's a blast.
Oh, they're great. It's like nobody knows who's playing. Nobody knows who these guys are. It's an excuse for us just go and yell and hope for a fight. And most of the time, you get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun. I went to a Predators game a year ago. Yeah, it was a year ago. It was like their last home game. I just went by myself. Last minute, bought a ticket, went. It was like a Tuesday night. Took off work. And there was 2 fights, which was exciting.
Yeah.
Disappointing was that they tied the game and forced overtime with like 0.1 second left on the clock. That's like, to me, what happened with the Browns.
Yeah.
Where you were up by 13 with 2 minutes left against the Jets. And the Jets come back and win that game with a touchdown with Joe Flacco.
Yeah. I mean, and the cool thing about Ice Bears games is the jerseys they wear. And a lot of these jerseys, they end up auctioning off at the end of the game. I did not realize that when they sell these jerseys, these things are going for a lot of money. I went there. I just came back from basic training. And I go to the jersey auction after the game because they were doing a special jersey that night. I was like, okay, I'm going to bid $50 on this jersey. The first bid was like $400. I'm like, yeah, I'm not staying for this auction. I immediately got up and I walked right out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's really cool, the different jerseys that they do for that, too. I know NHL does like practice jerseys, too, for different things. Like, I know they've done like a camo jersey
that are
Preds.
Yeah.
And they'll wear that during the warm-ups before games. And I think they either auction it off or maybe donate them. I'm not sure which one it is. But, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Jerseys are fun, man. That's why I'm kind of excited about the new jerseys, or the old jerseys coming back for the Vols.
It's going to be interesting. Let's get Matthew in here before we go to break. Matthew, you're up. What's up?
Hey, Jake. How we doing, fellas? How we doing today?
Doing good, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Bro, I actually got some bad news, Jake. I was just talking to my mom.
Yeah?
Apparently the O'Charlies behind the Kappa Sig House has been closed.
Well, How do I put this?
Gently.
Matthew, they didn't like us too much.
is that the friendly good riddance?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I knew you'd get a kick out of that. But, man, Bertha's got me on one, man. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid officially. I am drinking the Kool-Aid. I've been talking about this with Connor and a few of our buddies. You know, they always say every game, your next game is your biggest game. But, I mean, this game right here, fellas, makes or breaks your season. I don't care what anybody says.
It can catapult you or it can crater you. One or the other. Yeah. There's no in between. You're either going to get catapulted into the national spotlight or you're going to be cratered as an overrated paper tiger.
As crazy as this sounds, I will take a win over Florida over a win over LSU and Georgia. Florida for us, you know, me, you, the 30-year-olds in the room growing up, I've seen Tennessee beat Florida 2016. 2004 and 2001. So I've really only seen like three actual like legitimate. I actually remember the game. Like I remember Jeremy Banks actually catching the ball at halftime at Hail Mary.
2003. You missed one. 2003.
Okay. Oh, well, that 03 then. And then
yeah.
03, 01. They all run together when you get kind of into that those 2000s. But
oh yeah, that 01 game though. That was the best game of all time. Like that is my favorite Tennessee game. Number one all time. And it'll never change.
To Berto's point, though, that was a good Ole Miss team. And this isn't a good Florida team. You are correct, Jake. This is a more talented team than we have faced. They have, quote-unquote, the more star power. But what star power if you can't develop it?
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, Butch Jones is knocking on the door.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. And Billy Napier, if he wants to keep that job, he's going to have to make his system fit the players that he's got. You know, that was Butch Jones' problem when he was here. That was Jeremy Pruitt's problem, is they tried to make the players fit their system, and it was never going to work.
Yeah.
And you were never going to make that next step.
I think at the end of the day, I do agree with you, Jake. I've never seen the spread as high as it is. I mean, let me ask you this, Jake, and I'll hang up and listen. But if you had a gun to your head, and you either have to take Tennessee to cover that or Florida to cover that, and they're pulling the trigger. And if you get it right, you live. And if you get it wrong, they're finishing you off. What would you do?
Tennessee's covering. Take care. Tennessee's covering. Absolutely. Tennessee covers that spread, no doubt, in my mind. Stay with us. John Dunn of the All of All Collins Show joins us next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, overtime continues. Pleased to be joined by our weekly guest, John Dunn of the All Ball Call-In Show. Good evening, sir.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing pretty good, man.
Right on, man. I mean, it's Florida week. I mean, this is a big matchup. This is probably the biggest matchup between Tennessee and Florida since, well, 2016. You know, this in kind of a mirror season. You don't have to excuse my voice. I'm still battling this allergy mess a little bit here. But you look, it's very comparable to the 2016 season. Last time Tennessee started 3-0. Last time they beat Florida. Guess who else they beat that season? Georgia. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they stubbed their toe later on in the season, as we all will never forget. But, you know, a lot of similarities between this year and that year. But the only difference is I'm much more confident about this game than I was that one.
Absolutely, and I'm kind of the same way there. You know, it's just so weird seeing the spread at 10.5. I guess
it's
that's the one thing
sure.
That is just, I don't know, it kind of jarred me in a sense. I'm just like, this just seems like too good to be true. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, those who look only to the past or the present are certain to miss the future. We all know that. But given what we've seen in the past, like, you know that thing that's like amazing, and it's almost too good to be true, but it's happening. That's how I'm kind of feeling right now. It's like, this is almost too good.
I couldn't agree more, man. And the thing is, I'm trying not to look at how Florida has played against some of these other teams because, you know, we were just talking about the 2016 season.
Right.
Tennessee opened that season with an overtime victory, fumble recovery in the end zone against Appalachian State, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was the same year. Recovered a fumble in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown in overtime, and then went on to defeat Florida and Georgia in that same season. So the team that struggled with Appalachian State in game one wasn't the same team that defeated Florida, that defeated Georgia later on in the season. So you have to think that, you know, there's all kinds of mental hurdles, and you can analogize it the same. Tennessee is to Kentucky what Florida is to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those mental hurdles. So these guys need to take and just kind of, I guess, erase the front of the jersey who they're playing, erase the Gator logo, erase all of that. Forget you're playing Florida. Go and play them just like you're playing anybody else. Don't worry about who they are, what history's been there, like you just referenced. Don't worry about any of that. This is a very winnable game for Tennessee. I really like our offense against this defense a lot. The one thing that worries me is the mobile quarterback, which has been an Achilles heel for Tennessee the past couple of years. If they can shore up the running game and shut down Anthony Richardson, I think that they've got a real shot to not only win the game, but to cover.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we talked about in the first hour with a couple of our callers is the fact that Anthony Richardson has not been running the ball as much. And we don't know if that's due to an injury. And we don't know if it's because they're so afraid of what they've got behind him that they just don't want to get him hurt if he's not hurt already.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes down, I don't think Florida has a good answer for if something happens to Richardson. And, you know, you never want to see that. You know, that's a rival opponent, but I would never wish injury on anyone. You know, other fan bases may do that, but I don't think we do that here. But you don't want to see anybody go down. I want Florida playing their best football when Tennessee beats them. That's what I want. Alabama playing their best football. I want Georgia playing. I want Vanderbilt playing their best football and losing to Tennessee. That's the way to get them, you know, because then you'll hear, oh, it was a down year, this and that. Well, it is a down year for Florida. They're in a rebuild mode. They've got Billy Napier down there. They've got, you know, one of your callers just called in a few moments ago and was talking about how they're littered with talent, but there's been no development. That's absolutely correct. They really haven't had the time to develop it yet either. I mean, you look at what development does for a player. Let's use one of our own, for instance, Joe Milton. Just in one complete year under Josh Heupel, going into year two here, I have seen a night and day difference in his throwing mechanics, everything, his reads, his footwork, everything is so much better now. And that's one of countless examples on this team that we could list and just highlight their development as players. You know, Billy Napier may end up being a good developer of talent, but, you know, he's still in his first couple games with the Gators, and he still had a limited time to really work with them, so you haven't seen a whole lot of development there. They've got the talent, but I think Tennessee's just as talented. I'm not going to say that Florida has much more firepower than Tennessee. I really like, you know, everybody, you know, and even if Cedric is unable to go, which is likely, it doesn't look like he's going to be playing Saturday against Florida. You've still got guys like Brew McCoy out there, Jalen Hyatt, Ramel Keaton's really stepped up a lot this year. You can even go down to Squirrel White, Walker Merrill. You know, I mean, it's a pretty deep receiving core for Tennessee, so that's something that they're not used to, you know, is having depth and talent at multiple positions on the field. Now, there's one guy I really want to see go off on Saturday night, and that's Gerald Mincy. Ever since he transferred to Tennessee, the entire state of Florida, the University of Florida, has thrown nothing but shaded him. They've thrown him under the bus, and I really want to see him just erupt against Florida on Saturday night.
Absolutely. Marcus, you got something.
Yeah, John, I wanted to ask you, in your opinion, talking about the running back or the running ability that Richardson has and how that has caused issues for Tennessee in the past. Do you see, because obviously our defense did fairly well getting to Slovis, getting at quarterbacks, really kind of making an impact in that way. Do you see this defense maybe taking a different approach, maybe looking more zone, looking to try to disguise some things rather than just going straight after him to keep him in the pocket?
Yeah, absolutely. I foresee a lot of disguised blitzes coming to try to force him to beat you through the air. I see some spies. I see a bunch of things. But, you know, Tennessee, there is such a thing as flying in too hot on the quarterback, and that's something they can't do is, for lack of a better term, overcorrect defensively. So if they're coming in off the edge, you know, up the gut, whatever gap they may be coming from, they can't they can't overexert, because if he gets by you, he's quick enough and athletic enough to get to the edge and go. And you know, I haven't really seen a whole lot from Tennessee's defense yet that tells me that they can definitely handle a mobile quarterback. They did a good job. Like you said, they're doing a great job of getting to these quarterbacks in the pocket. You know, had more hurries against Pittsburgh than they had had in a decade. You know, they did a good job getting to DJ Irons Saturday. Ball State, not so much. But, you know, I think that we'll see a lot of disguise looks Saturday for sure. I think that they're going to try to play a little bit of a mental chess with Anthony Richardson and the Florida coaching staff a little bit to try to force him to beat you through the air, because, I mean, you look at his body of work thus far, he has more tackles than he has passing touchdowns. That's a very interesting stat to me. So they're going to try to make him beat us with his arm. That's the best approach, I think, for him, for sure.
And that's another great point, Marcus, because, and John, obviously, but it just worries me. It's like, he's not thrown a passing touchdown yet. The next one he throws is going to be his first. Does that worry you coming into this game? It's like, okay, what if he just so happens to find his rhythm against us? The good news is, if it happens in the fourth quarter and it's too late, it's not going to matter. But we don't need him to get in a rhythm and get established early on, I feel like, if we're going to cover that spread.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that speaks to Marcus's point. You know, you just got to get some disruption early on. I mean, that's Tennessee last season was the best team in the country at scoring in the first quarter. You know, outscored everybody. You know, I think it was 14.6 points per quarter in the first quarter, beating out the second-best team by nearly 4 points. So they need to come out, you know, pretty hot early, offensively for sure. But defensively, an early game takeaway would be paramount for Tennessee, especially an interception, which would, you know, obviously provide a little bit of a mental advantage on Anthony Richardson, knowing, hey, these guys have already picked me off one time, hasn't thrown a passing touchdown. And I hear a little bit of that battered ball syndrome coming out in you, Jake, right there when you're asking if he, you know, what if he finds his rhythm against Tennessee and everything. But I'm not too worried. I think they're going to come out early, you know, discuss some things and really rattle his cage early on. And like I said, an early game takeaway would be paramount. That's what I think is going to happen.
Good stuff. And jumping into the college basketball realm of things, you know, you saw what happened with Amani Bates at Eastern Michigan. And John, this was a guy that was supposed to be the new face of the NBA. Like, he was that highly touted coming out of high school. You know, he goes to Memphis under Penny Hardaway. Things don't work out, transfers back home, and now he's facing two felony counts. And it's like, man, why would you even put yourself in that situation? Why would you put yourself in a situation where you're carrying around a firearm with an altered or scratched off serial number?
You know, man, you give some people an inch and they'll take a mile. I've heard that my whole life. And a lot of these, and I'm not going to, you know, speak about him specifically, I don't guess, but just in general, a lot of these young guys that get out here, they don't really know a whole lot else. You know, so there's a little bit to be said about that, their upbringing, you know, a little bit. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, you grow up in a certain area, you have to do certain things to just survive.
Right.
So, you know, that's just one of those things. But, you know, when you're given an opportunity and you know what's in store for you in your future, you have to prioritize what's important to you. And you have to determine, hey, is setting myself up, my family up, my future generation, you know, my kids, my kids' kids, setting them up forever, is that worth it to me? Or is it more important that I, you know, maintain my cultural learnings, I guess, my upbringing, my environmental learnings? And, you know, you hate to see it. You really do. These guys get handed some opportunities and they squander them. You know, I mean, you hate to see it, but you got to make better decisions.
Yeah, and one of the players here locally that we have we've seen a similar situation with, Jeremy Banks. You know, we had the incident where the two videos got posted to TMZ. He gets kicked off the team, and in order for him to come back on the team, it's like, okay, you got to do this, this, and this, and we will let you back on the team. He took care of that, and a lot of people at the time, you know, it's like, well, how are you going to punish the guy? How are you going to ruin his life? It's like, okay, what do we want to do here? Do we want to send him back home where he's down mentally? He's not happy with himself. His childhood dream just gone. Do we want to do that, or do we want to help the guy? Do we want to, of course, have him do certain things that he has to do? He goes out and he does those things. He's a different person because of it. He appreciates a lot more in life. He understands, like, hey, I had to earn this second chance. It wasn't just given to me. Mm-hmm. And now he's a pivotal part of this defense.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, that goes back to my point about what they learned growing up, what they had to do, you know, these things that are ingrained in them.
Right.
It's the best way to handle these types of situations is to teach, to inform, to educate. To, you know, these guys, they don't, they're grown men, so I hate to use this term, but they, a lot of them don't know any better.
Right.
You know, you take them, you say, hey, this is what you need to do. If you do these things, you're proven that you're dedicated to being on the right track. If not, we don't need you.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just like, you know, taking somebody who has just eaten everything with their hands their whole life and then taking them to a restaurant. I mean,
exactly.
You take someone that has just eaten sandwiches with their hands and eaten cheeseburgers with their hands, eaten steaks with their hands. You take them to a Texas Roadhouse, they're just going to see that salad. They're just going to grab it and throw it in their mouth.
Exactly. You're exactly right, man. So, I mean, it's all about education. Knowledge is power. I've always heard that, you know, and it's true. And you can apply that in every situation in life, no matter what it is, sports, work, politics, healthcare, anything. Knowledge is power. So, you know, just you hate to see it. And for his sake, for Bates' sake, I really hope that I really hope that he can do the right things. And I hope that this doesn't define who he is, you know, as a person. You know, I hope he can still do some things and maybe work his way back to the good graces of everybody and get back on the right track, because he had a very bright future.
That he did. And one more thing, and then I gotta make a special announcement. Cleveland Browns. Fan throws water bottle at Jimmy Haslam. What is it with the connection to the University of Tennessee and thrown water bottles? That fan is now banned for life from Cleveland Browns events.
You know, oh, man, I have had my, I guess, thoughts about the Haslams in the past, but, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of money that comes in because of them, so it's kind of hard to throw shade at the Haslams. But, you know, I like to think that Tennessee, you know, the connection there with the thrown objects, I like to think that everybody in Tennessee is just a quarterback, kind of like every Marine's a rifleman.
Yeah.
Every Tennessee is a quarterback, you know. So I like to just think that we've got, you know, people with loaded cannons, man, ready to go at all times. Just many Peyton Mannings just walking around doing their day-to-day, you know, just always ready, whether that Cleveland fan knows it or not, he's one of us. So,
absolutely. Anytime I just walk out, I'm ready to throw that jersey on and just sling it. And
Coach would put me in fourth quarter. We'd have won the state championship in 82.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's just how it goes, right?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And, John, you are making your Fan Run Radio debut this Saturday on the Tennessee tailgate. John is going to be filling in for me alongside Adam Hickman, and a few others are going to be in here that day. Lowe's going to be here. It's going to be an exciting day, and we are more than excited to have you in studio.
Man, I am, you know, extremely excited. I cannot express that enough. I've been thinking about it for couple weeks now, man. Been looking forward to it. I hate that you're not going to be there, man, but I do look forward to working alongside some fantastic people. Lowe does a fantastic job there with you guys. Involves ATB, does a fantastic job. Me and Hickman, we're pretty much the same guy. We're pretty much the same exact person. So, I mean, he and I are going to hit it off just fine, man. I mean, he's like my brother from another mother, they say. So, excited to hang out with him. I'm excited to hang out with all you guys down there and, you know, kind of get my feet wet with you guys a little bit and, you know, just soak in the wondrous pageantry of the Tennessee-Florida just atmosphere, man. There is nothing like it, man, nothing like it.
And there never will be anything else like it. John, tell us where to find your stuff.
As always, guys, you can find all of our articles and everything free to read, anything we put out free to read, allvolcallinshow.com. You can sign up there at the top of the page, get email notifications anytime we post a new article, anything like that. You can find us on Facebook, All Vol Callin Show. Just search us up. You can listen to me. I do the spaces, the Twitter spaces on Twitter alongside when I'm doing the show live over on Facebook and the website. So you can find my Twitter at JXHDUNN, all smashed together. And, yeah, man, anytime that anybody has any questions, anything, just reach out to me. I promise I'm very, very responsive. I'll get back to you.
That he is. John, thank you so much for your time, man. We'll see you on Saturday.
Jake, Marcus, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen. We'll see you guys later.
John Dunn of the All Vol Call-In Show making his presence felt on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. My man brings the energy every single Tuesday, even when he's sick. Today, he's not feeling well. He's been dealing with allergies all weekend. And I called him last night. I was like, man, we still good? And he's like, yeah, man, I'll be ready for tomorrow. And sure enough.
Powers through.
Absolutely. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime Fan Run Radio, we now have the 2023 schedule for Tennessee football. And I have found the day, if there's going to be a wedding, that it must be on.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
It's going to be on October 7th.
Ah, that's the bye week?
Yeah. So, obviously, we know Tennessee will start in Nashville against Virginia on September 2nd.
I'm kind of excited about that game. I don't know. Is that the team that, what's his name? The guy that we talked about hiring.
You talking about Tony Elliott?
Tony Elliott.
Yes.
He's in Virginia.
Yes. Do you ever think that he would maybe turn back the clock and take this job now?
Probably.
I mean, I would.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you turned this down and you made a mistake.
The real question is, you know, could he have done the same thing?
You never know. And we never will know. That's the thing about college football is you never know unless it happens. And then the next week, Tennessee hosts Austin Peay. That'll be the warm-up game on the third Saturday in September. September 16th at Florida.
And we will walk out of that swamp with a win.
I want to win in the swamp so bad. We've not done that since 2003.
That will definitely, if we could beat Florida 2 years in a row, whew.
Be the first time since 03-04.
Oh, I need it.
Then the next week, a lot of people are going to brush this opponent off, but they're playing some good football right now, and they played some good football last year. UTSA, UT San Antonio.
Yeah. No, they've definitely played a lot better. They've played some good games, man.
I mean, they're playing good football, man.
So it's, because if I'm not mistaken, they took Houston to triple overtime. Was that game with UTSA?
Yeah, yes, I think, actually.
I'll double-check myself, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe UTSA was the team that took, at the time, the number 25 team to triple overtime.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is this team is no slouch. I mean, they can run a solid offense and put some points on the board. Up next, September 30th, South Carolina.
Feels weird seeing them this early.
It does, because they used to be a November game for us.
Yeah.
Because you remember Georgia used to be a late September, early October game for us.
Yeah, and we've seen South Carolina in October before.
Yeah.
Like when we, in 09, when we wore the black jerseys for the first time.
Halloween night.
That was Halloween night. So it's weird seeing them that early, but I'm not against it. Looking at what's coming up after that, it'd be nice to get them just knocked out of the way and move forward.
And then we got a team that might have a coach on the hot seat if he's not gone by then. Texas A&M, October 14th, after 2 weeks against South Carolina. October 14th, we'll play Texas A&M, a team that is loaded with talent. Loaded with talent. But I'm still standing firm on my stance that Jimbo Fisher is a fake and a fraud. He's not done anything since his second to last year at Florida State. And then the last year he was there, I think he used up all of his talent. And he realized that he had, so that's why he left. And he has yet to have a 10-win season at Texas A&M. Because I don't think a lot of people count the COVID year because you had so many people sitting out that year. But he's not won more than 9 games.
No, and right now his only saving grace is that he beat Bama last year.
That's probably what kept him in a job, let's be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's what happens if you're an Auburn coach.
But also, you got to think about that buyout, too, if you're Texas A&M. That's a big buyout.
Yeah.
It's like they're almost praying for him to take another job because then they don't have to pay him.
You don't think he'd be dumb enough to go to Nebraska, do you?
Kind of wish he was.
Because, I mean, he wouldn't have the same pressure. And him being the big name, if they pay him the money. Like, that's the whole thing with Nebraska is they don't have the inner circle to get recruits. But recruits love to come to Jimbo despite what he does.
I mean, he cheats. That's what he does. He pays the players. That's exactly what he does. And then the third Saturday in October at Alabama.
I need to be careful because I'm becoming...
Really?
Well, I got to be careful about this because I'm becoming the Tennessee fan that is getting too hyped up, but already looking at this schedule, besides the Texas A&M game, being a potential toss-up, depending on how we look at the start of the year, a lot of these games, man, feel very, very winnable. To the same feeling that I have right now with this season, these 2 years, Hawaii 5-0 is not out of the realm.
No, and it's not out of the realm next year either.
That's what I'm saying. Like this year, next year.
I mean, you could be 6-0 going into Alabama next year if things keep going the way that they're going.
Ugh.
And then after that, you go to Kentucky. So you got two road games back-to-back at Alabama, then at Kentucky. They're not going to have Will Levis.
No,
we'll see who they got there. Draft. I mean, that's the thing is like we're gonna have to see what they've got next year before we make any predictions on that game. UConn, everyone knows how they are.
I think that's gonna be a fun game though. What? They're in the Big East. Is that correct?
I think they were just American, the then they were independent.
Does the Big East even exist anymore?
No.
I think that's just gonna be a fun game. Like it's not your Texas or your Tennessee Tech.
Right.
It's not your Austin Peay. It's just kind of a fun, random game that you get to play.
And they've got a good coach.
That they do.
They've got a decent coach for what they are. And then we go to Missouri on November the 11th, and then we close out a two-game home stretch. November 18th versus Georgia.
It's weird having them that late.
That one.
At home?
That game might decide the East.
It very well could.
And then you close out the season with Vanderbilt. Of course, we're not going to make any predictions on a 2023 season until we get done with the 2022 season. But a bold prediction to make about this year.
Let's do it.
You win Saturday, you're going 10-2.
Oh.
If you win Saturday, you are going 10-2. If you keep up the momentum... There's going to be injuries. We all know that. But you have to carry that momentum, that same energy. Every ounce of energy in your body, you carry that energy, you are going 10-2. You lose that game, you're probably going 8-4. I feel like that's a fair take.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I mean, the thing that hurts me is that I really wish that this team could give Georgia a little bit of a scare and maybe really compete for the East. But unfortunately, I really thought Georgia was going to take a step back after last year. And I don't think they have, which is hard for me to say. Because I do think besides Georgia, I get Kentucky's better than they've been in the past. They don't really scare me, though.
Right.
And like you said, really the only two games that you can say isn't a toss-up is Alabama and Georgia. Both of those teams are really, really good, really talented, coached well. So 10-2 is not out of the realm of possibility at all. The only reason I said 9-3 at the beginning of the season was because Brian Kelly and LSU individually, let alone together, are a big question mark.
They are. And we're going to get a lot of shade from a lot of fan bases over this season if we go 10-2. Are we really playing anybody? Probably not. Your toughest two opponents are going to be Alabama and Georgia. Kentucky, they're a top 10 team. But who do they play?
Yeah.
We're going to get that. LSU's not any good. Florida's not good. It's like, okay, well, who did you beat? Doesn't matter. We went 10-2.
Yeah.
That's what you say. It's like Louisville. They got that banner taken down from their 2012-2013 championship. But guess what they can never do? They can never take away that moment. They cannot change the fact that team competed and won a championship. Whatever they did behind the scenes, you know, it's a shame that it happened. But the fact of the matter is, that team won the championship. You can take it out of the record books, but you can never take away those memories that those fans and those players have, that they won a national title. Like Reggie Bush, for example.
You read my mind.
Guess what? He still won the Heisman Trophy. He was the best player in college football.
They need to reinstate him for that, honestly.
They really do. And, you know, obviously that's a different situation.
Yeah.
But
at the same time...
But it's not like the point-shaving incidents that we saw in college basketball. You know, and I wasn't around for that, obviously, but you watch the documentaries, you read the books, you read the articles about it. It's not like they were altering the game by what was happening off the field. When you take the point-shaving scandals into account, they are altering games. That I understand. If you want to take away championships from teams that were gambling, yeah, whatever. Obviously, those teams didn't win championships because they shaved points. That's the thing. You play in a fixed game, that's different. But solely based off of athletic ability, you still won that.
Yeah.
You won that trophy. You won that championship. That's your banner. That's just my opinion. And I might be wrong. You know, I might not have the correct way of thinking to some people, but the fact of the matter is, what they get paid off the field, under the table, during that time, had nothing to do with how they performed on the field. It's like that house that Reggie Bush's family got. Mm. That had nothing to do with how he performed on the field.
Nope.
They got that because of his potential that he had. They bought that house for him because of potential. Did he ball out? Yes. But was that house affecting his performance on the field? No, it was not.
Hmm. Yeah. I think us going 10-2, I'm just thinking about it now. And I like it. Here's the issue that I understand, because you're right. A lot of people are going to say, well, who did you beat? You could argue the same thing. I know maybe I'll sound slightly crazy. You could argue the same thing with Georgia.
You could.
Oregon's no good. They were ranked high when they shouldn't have been. The difference between Georgia and Tennessee, respectfully, is that they have a better team than we do.
Exactly. That's
not,
it.
Not taking that away. But they play the same Eastern teams that we play. Only difference is we got Bama that we have to play.
Every single year.
So
we're the only team that has to play Bama and Georgia. Well, Auburn. Auburn has to do it.
Yeah.
But we're the only two teams that have to play Alabama and Georgia every single year.
So when people look at us and say, well, you went 10-2, but look who you beat. Well, guess what? I hate to break it to you. We played the same schedule as a potential national championship team. We just didn't have the same talent.
Right. I mean, that's how it is. Yeah, these guys were great. These guys were a great football team, but look at who they're playing. There's a major talent gap between number one and two in the country. It's number one, Georgia. Number two, Alabama. Major talent gap, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's going to do it for us. Marcus, thank you so much.
Absolutely, buddy.
Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.